This morning, we're going to do something that we've been doing each year that I've been here, when we've been talking about the persecuted church. There's a Sunday each year that we try and set aside specifically to think about, pray for, be aware of the things that happen in the world in which we find ourselves. Things that take place that didn't stop when the Bible was done being written, didn't stop when the first century Christians who were being persecuted by the Romans ended, and we went throughout history, and it's still things that happen today. And it's, I feel, important for us as a church. As I said, we sang those songs that no matter where you are in this world, you should be able to sing those songs, honoring God, praising God, saying the things that you and I just said. We could be in some other part of the world and say those same things. And so I want to focus this morning on that, specifically just to share a story about the persecuted church, that Voice of the Martyrs, which is a ministry that is dedicated to ministering to people who are persecuted throughout the world. They put this material out. It's an organization that I have worked with for a long time. Through doing youth ministry, I actually was a volunteer for them and did speak at a couple of different places on their behalf, and was just interested in this, and I felt important that when I was doing youth ministry that our kids understood, and as I became a pastor of a church, I felt we as a church body understand the reality of what some of our brothers and sisters face throughout the world. One of the greatest privileges we have as believers, people that are followers of Jesus, is prayer. And this is one of the things that the persecuted church brothers and sisters continually ask for. It's one thing, no matter what we do, no matter what gifting we have as a follower of Jesus, no matter where we are, whether it's sitting in this building, whether it's in your car, whether it's at home, no matter what language you speak, we can all pray. We can all have a conversation with God, and so we try and do that here at Grace Church. In your bulletin, you see a prayer list, people that have needs, and we pray for them at different times. We pray for them here. We give them that to you so that they know people at Grace Church are praying for them, and that's one of the things that all of us can do. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, your physical condition, whether you have a job, you're retired from a job, it doesn't matter. You can all be in prayer for one another, and that's one of the things we can do for the persecuted church as well. And another thing that we can do for that church is just to be aware of things that are happening throughout the world. So what I want to do this morning is more of a reflection on something as opposed to a typical sermon. So when I prepare a sermon, I do exegesis. So that's how you interpret Scripture. It's not a curse word in Greek. It's exegesis is how you're interpreting the Bible. So when I prepare a message, that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm using commentaries. I'm using all kinds of stuff to figure out what this text is saying. And then whatever the author intended to tell us, how does that apply to us today? So I try and do that each and every Sunday. This morning is more of a devotional thought that I had when I was looking at this material and reading something out of Matthew chapter 5. So what that means to you is a devotional thought is much shorter than a sermon that's been exegeted. So you should be glad that I'm just sharing a devotional thought with you. But it's something that I have thought about that I wonder if you think about as well when you read the Bible. So I want you to, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 5 for you, and then we're going to watch a short video clip that Voice of the Martyrs put out about some believers in Pakistan. And I'm going to ask you to put yourself in their position, and I'm going to ask you to think about reading this very same scripture in the country in which they live, and in the country in which they find themselves. So I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but as a Christian living in the state that we live in, living in the United States of America, living in North America, a Western part of the world, having the heritage that we have, we read the Bible a particular way. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but it's something that we have to be aware of, that you come at it with a particular lens when you read this. And so I want to read this part for you. This is the Sermon on the Mount. That's what we've titled it. That's probably what the subtitle in your Bible says. It's simply Jesus doing what lots of teachers did in Jesus' day. A crowd would form around them, and they would begin teaching. There's lots of people other than Jesus that were doing the same kind of thing. They would have followers they called disciples, and they would teach them about some philosophy, a way of doing life, some kind of religion. And so Jesus is doing that same thing. He's with his disciples, and this crowd forms, and he goes up on a probably a hill, not a mountain, but he goes up on a hill so that people can hear him when he's speaking. And he begins to teach them about what it looks like to follow him. And he says some things that if I was going to start a religion, I would not lead off with the things that Jesus is saying here. I mean, this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He is starting out here to begin to teach and preach about who he is and about what God is doing through him. So this is the onset of this religion that we call Christianity, this thing that's coming out of Judaism, out of the Jewish religion, and becoming what we know today as Christianity. And Jesus, teaching people about this, says this: when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. So this is what they're hearing. This is the first things of Jesus' first teaching that he's doing. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So that's Jesus' first teaching, and he's saying you're blessed if you're poor in spirit. You're a broken person, and you feel like you're a beggar coming to a table. That's what Jesus is basically saying there. Blessed are you if you mourn and weep. Blessed are the meek, not the powerful, not the popular, not the famous, not the most well-off. Blessed are the meek. And he goes on to say these things that seem weird to say if you're starting a religion. And then he goes on to say this: blessed are you if you're persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in verse 11, he goes on to describe that. He says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And then he says something really dumb: rejoice and be glad. I don't know if you're allowed to say that about something Jesus said, really dumb. It doesn't make sense. Why would you and rejoice and be glad? Why would Jesus tell people to do that? If you read Luke's account, Luke is writing about this in his narrative about Jesus' life, the biography that he penned about Jesus. And the translation there, and when Luke is writing this, is leap for joy. That's what it says, leap for joy. Right after he says, blessed are you when you're persecuted, when people insult you, when they say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Leap for joy, Luke says. That does not make sense to me. So I read that as an American, as a Christian, living the life that I've lived. And, you know, I can somewhat relate to that. And what I try and do is, if I was living somewhere else, when Jesus says these things, how does that hit my ears? Like I said, it's not a bad thing that you read the Bible a particular way. We all have that lens. But we got to realize that when you live in a different part of the world, the lens might be a little bit different. So imagine yourself living in Pakistan. And it's only like 5 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes of a clip of a camera crew that was following some believers in Pakistan and following them around. And so imagine now if we were living in that country and I read that very same scripture to you after you've watched this video. So Steve, can you show that clip for us?
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Qadus, 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 Rabbal Fad. Zameen Asman ke Khalik Malik. Tera shukr ada karte hain is pyare mauka ke liye jo tune hamari zameen mein bakhsh diya. Tera shukr ada karte hain Khudanda is subah ke liye Khudanda. Ki tune hamari zameen mein bakhsha. Ki nayi subah dekh sake Khudanda. Khudanda tera shukr ada karte hain bachcho ke liye Khudanda.
Today in Pakistan, we Christians are second-class citizens. Though we have committed no crime, we are ostracized and banished to the lowest place in society. Often we are forced to leave our villages and our own homes. We cannot get good jobs. And we have no voice in government. What is left for us is servitude. Sewage work. And we know we will never advance. But we have a church, a place where Christians come together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to sing His praise, to study His word. For while our country has turned its back on us, God has not. Sometimes it is not easy. The loss, the injustice. So please remember to pray for us. That we will continue to live together in fellowship. That we will continue to see the joy of the Lord in our lives. And that we will persevere in our faith, no matter the cost. And please remember, we are praying for you.
Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. So I just try to picture myself being in their position, being there, living there. Every day you wake up, that is your job. That's my job. That wasn't just like pond water that dude was getting into. That was disgusting. And yet, you're never going to advance. The entire system in which you live makes sure that you cannot advance in any way, shape, or form. So you've got to figure out a way to provide for your kids in the midst of that. You've got to figure out a way to overcome a lot of the injustice. The system is set up against you. People will lie about you and what you do and what you say simply because of Jesus. I mean, we sang a song about the name of Jesus and what Jesus can do. And simply because you believe in this guy who claims certain things, that's your life. It's amazing to me that what just simply believing in Jesus can do to people and the way that they are treated. And so this morning, as I was reading this, I just wanted us to put ourselves in their shoes and hear what Jesus says to us. If you heard them say that in a country where the country has turned their back on them, that's your life. Every day you get up, it's not going to change. When we sing about Jesus, even so come, it's probably not going to happen in Pakistan until Jesus returns. That justice is made right, that things are made, that they're treated like actual human beings again. And so I read this and I just remind myself, as an American, and I think it's something that we all have to do, it's not to say we're horrible Christians and we do a dreadful job at following Jesus. I think it's just another thing that we have to do, living where we live, and just say, not everybody hears this the same way that I hear it. And there's a lot of brothers and sisters who are experiencing something very different every single day than what you and I experience. And to hear those words where Jesus says, blessed are you when all of that happens to you because of me. Rejoice and be glad. That's hard to do. You saw there that they were at a church and praising God. And I think to myself sometimes, all you have to do is not be out in front about your faith. Like, just don't tell anybody you believe in Jesus. Just don't let the government know you believe in Jesus. Just try and go get that job. And don't profess you're a Christian, or just do it quietly. That's how easy it would be, I think, for them. I mean, why endure that? Simply to believe in this guy named Jesus. And Jesus says, blessed are you when you do, because your reward is great. You might not experience that reward right now, but your reward is great. And sometimes I think we forget in the lives that we live. I mean, I love my life. I love my family. I love where I live. I'm not saying that I want Jesus to come because all that is dreadful and horrible. But maybe I don't have the greatest perspective to say most of the world isn't like this. And I'm comparing something that is uncomparable to when Jesus returns. And I've got to remind myself that in this life, when things get tough, my reward is actually in heaven. Jesus tells people to store up your treasure, not here on earth, because it's going to get rusty, it's going to get moth-eaten, it's going to be destroyed. But store your treasure in heaven. So I'm thinking about this and saying, well, okay, I don't experience that our brothers and sisters experience in Pakistan. And in reality, a lot of places in this world. Many, many places. So when Jesus is saying this to me, when Jesus is telling us that we are blessed if we're persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are inheriting some other kingdom. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because your reward is going to be great. So I'm living here in the United States of America, pastoring a church in Schuylkill Haven. How do I hear those things? What is Jesus saying to me? So I interpreted it this way. Blessed are you when people misunderstand you, when people misrepresent you. Now, we've got a lot of people experiencing that. An entire system is against them, an entire country. Everything is built to keep you as practically a slave. And there's no chance of you ever getting out of that unless you deny your faith to the point where you could be killed for it. But that's not my experience. So Jesus, what are you saying to me? How do I read that? How should I live my life where I live with the place I live, hearing what you have to say here? And part of that, I think, is Jesus saying, blessed are you when people misunderstand you, when people misrepresent you. That happens a lot. There's probably people that don't even get why you get up on Sunday and come to this place we call a church. They don't get it. You could be doing anything right now other than sitting in here. I could be doing a lot of other stuff other than preparing something to share with you. There's a lot of people that just misunderstand. They don't get it. I had a friend who was working at Lowe's, and he told his boss, he said, I'll work Sunday, just don't have me work from this time in the morning to this time because I want to go to church. And they're like, what's it matter? What do you care? I mean, is it that big of a deal? To him, it was. They misunderstood who he was, the decisions that he made, why he did what he did. If you ever been misrepresented, I am, right? If you are a Christian, you are, because you believe in God and the Crusades happened. So obviously you're horrible people. I mean, that's one of the arguments that I hear about not being a Christian is because of the Crusades. I mean, they can't tell you when that happened in history, but they know the word. And so all Christians are like X. And maybe you've had a friend that said, well, you're like one of them. I had a friend that wouldn't believe in Christianity because all the TV preachers that he sees and all the stuff that they're saying and the money they want and all that kind of stuff. So this whole Christianity thing is nonsense. And I must be like them. Maybe you've been misrepresented in that you think you're better than somebody else. You think you're better than your friend. You're self-righteous and judgmental because of what you believe. That's happened. I don't know if it's happened to you. It certainly happened to me, where because I choose to live my life a particular way and choose to live and teach my family a way of life, and I actually believe certain things are wrong and you shouldn't do them, you shouldn't say certain things, that there are certain things that are evil, I'm looked at as being judgmental. So blessed are you when people misrepresent you, when they misunderstand you. Blessed are you when people look down on you for being a Christian. I don't know why this happens, but as soon as I tell people what I do, they look at me different. Like, I don't always, when I'm in different settings, I don't always say that I'm a pastor. Oh, he's a pastor, okay. I guess we got to act a little different. I guess we got to talk a little different. It's like there's some kind of thing that surrounds me just because of the fact that my vocation in life, what I believe I'm made to do, is be a pastor. And people have looked down on that. I mean, there's people that I've made arguments about Christianity, and simply because I'm a pastor, I'm not in the academic world or whatever, and they just don't think I'm very bright. Well, you believe in this God that you can't see. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. Do people look down on you? Have you ever experienced that? Have people ever just kind of made fun of you behind your back? Like, oh yeah, that whole Jesus thing. There goes Ted again. That whole Jesus thing, and they just say stuff, maybe not to your face. It happens. You're looked at as weird. Sometimes people just don't get you. Your spouse just doesn't get it. They don't get why you go to church, why you believe what you believe. Oh, this bad thing happened. Where's your God now? You know, you say you pray, and we have these people on our prayer list, and we pray for them, and it doesn't always turn out great. Where's your God now? Why does this happen? Why can't you answer this question? And they just look for ways to trip you up. Well, the Bible says this. Well, what's right? Why is the Bible contradicting itself? If God is so good, why does this horrible stuff happen? And they just look for ways in which they can put you down for believing what you believe. Jesus says, blessed are you when people do that to you. Blessed are you when you stay committed to following Jesus in the midst of difficult family relationships, in the midst of friendships that are tenuous because of what you believe, in the midst of a work environment that sometimes is difficult, in the midst of people not looking at you the same way or treating you a little bit differently because of how you live, in the way you choose to raise your family, in the midst of not being able to bring up the religion thing at work or with your friends or your family because you're going to be looked at like you're judgmental or self-righteous or you think you're better than me or whatever. Blessed are you when you stay committed to this faith that Jesus has called us into in the midst of all that. That's what I think Jesus is saying to us. And we just finished up our all-in study. If you were a part of a life group and you were doing that all-in study, and this past Friday when we were at a life group, we were talking about this thing called commitment. And I said at that life group that I think that's one of the biggest things we struggle with in the United States. Staying committed to Jesus and really living out this faith in the midst of all this. And no, it's not we're second-class citizens like people are in Pakistan. What that should tell us is this, I think. I'm going to reinterpret what Jesus says. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. When Jesus says, blessed are you, stay committed. Stay committed to Jesus in the midst of the whys. Well, why isn't God showing up in my life? Why didn't God make this happen? Why did God let that happen? Why this? Why that? Stay committed. For in the same way, our brothers and sisters, in the face of great persecution, stay committed, so can you. That's what I think that video clip does for us as Americans. Reading this same exact scripture, there are so many people that stay committed to Jesus in the midst of great persecution. And Jesus doesn't just say, stay committed and just, hey, muscle through it. You know, pull up your bootstraps and just deal with it, grin and bear it. Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad in the midst of that. That's not easy to do, and yet that's what Jesus says. And that's what he says to our Pakistani brothers and sisters. Experiencing what you've watched there, and that's mild compared to some of the stuff that happens in Pakistan and other places in the world. You can get the Voice of the Martyrs magazine for free. It's a free newsletter, and you can read about all those stories. You can read about people in the midst of that praying for the very people that are persecuting them. And yet Jesus says to them, rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward, that is, in heaven. And Jesus says to all of us living where we live, rejoice and be glad in the midst of all this, in that difficult relationship that you have with a family member, rejoice and be glad and stay committed. Keep following Jesus. In that tenuous relationship with a friend that just doesn't get you, maybe doesn't talk to you quite as much, maybe looks at you different, maybe that kid that doesn't get why you say what you say, why you're trying to raise them in a particular way, and they just don't get that, and you're having a problem with that right now, maybe that spouse that just tries to trip you up, maybe that spouse that just doesn't get it, kind of makes fun of you for believing what you believe, in this God that you can't see, maybe in an entire culture that misrepresents your life and who you are, and you just get lumped in with a whole group of people that is very different from you. That's not you. That's not your experience. That's not how you treat people. That's not what Christianity looks like, but because of where we live, that's just, you're one of them. In the midst of all that, Jesus says, blessed are you when all that stuff happens to you because of me. That's the amazing thing. This name of Jesus, simply because you are gathered together in Jesus' name, just stirs up such hatred and animosity that you would want to treat another human being the way that they're treated because of Jesus. And Jesus says that injustice is going to exist throughout our world and in this life. Jesus says to his disciples as he's preparing them, he says, in this world you are going to have a lot of trouble. But take heart, because I've overcome the world. And sometimes we just need to be reminded of what our other brothers and sisters experience as well. And maybe if they can rejoice and be glad in the midst of this following Jesus, so can I. I can rejoice and be glad in the midst of being misunderstood or misrepresented or made fun of or looked down or just people just don't get it. Commitment only really gets legs when we're challenged. In your marriage, when you're challenged in your marriage, that's when we really know if we're committed to one another. That's what the definition of commitment is. When things get tough, when it's really hard to keep going, when I've got all the reasons in the world not to rejoice and be glad, am I still going to stay committed? Am I still going to follow Jesus in the midst of all this? That was a challenge that I had, as I said, just a devotional thought. This is what was running through my mind when I was just reading Scripture and preparing for this morning was, I'm asking myself that question. What does it look like, Ted? Are you not telling people you're a pastor because you want to fit in? Or are you not telling them because you're afraid they're going to misrepresent you? Are you ashamed of that? I think I'm not, but I had to ask myself that question again when, who cares if they look down on you? Your reward's in heaven. Blessed are you when that happens because of Jesus. So on the International Day of Prayer, I want to pray for specifically Pakistan as we watch that, but also other brothers and sisters who experience persecution, and kind of just ask myself this question of, am I committed, Jesus? Am I rejoicing and being glad in the midst of what I experience? And maybe you can ask yourself that question and be challenged in that way on whether or not you're committed to Jesus as well. Are you rejoicing and being glad in the midst of that times when people misunderstand or misrepresent you, look down on you or make fun of you behind your back, or they don't get it and they just treat you differently? Jesus says, rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven. Let's pray. God, thanks for the church, a family of believers that you have given to us to go through life with, Lord. And some of us have experienced that. Some of us have experienced this this joy of not having to do life on our own. We've faced some tough situations, Lord. I'm thankful for the church as we have our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, Lord. We don't have to physically be at that location to be connected with them through your Spirit, Lord, and to pray for them. For those people that we saw on that screen, Lord, those are not people who are acting out this for this video. These are people that this is their life every day. This is reality for them. God, I pray for them. And I do pray, God, that you would help them to continue to rejoice and be glad. Give them perseverance and strengthen them, Lord, in the midst of what they experience simply because they choose to follow Jesus. Because of that name, that one name, they're looked at as not even human. God, we pray for them. I pray for protection in Pakistan, as I know it's a dangerous place to be a follower of Jesus, and for all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world who continue to follow you, and they have to do it in different locations, and they have to do it in secret, and have to baptize people in the early mornings or late evenings so nobody can see them doing it because of fear of persecution, Lord. Lord, I just pray that we'd be able to put ourselves in their position at times, that we can read the Scriptures and maybe read it with a different lens different times. God, thank you for prayer. And that sometimes in the midst of feeling helpless in these situations, we can pray to the one who can do all things. And we can pray to the one who has not turned his back on Pakistan, but is there with them in the midst of it, suffering alongside them, as Jesus did, as Jesus continues to do, Lord. Lord, strengthen our brothers and sisters throughout this world. Continue to give them boldness and courage to witness for you. Continue to be with them as they face great persecution, Lord. Continue to remind them that they are blessed because of it, because of you, and great is their reward in heaven. God, be with us as we face different challenges here in the United States, as each of us here probably face challenges in some relationships we have, whether it's family or friends, maybe even a spouse. Maybe it's people at our work. God, help us to be bold. Help us to be courageous. Help us to stay committed in the midst of those why questions of why we don't understand some things, Lord God, and why things happen the way they do, Lord. God, I pray that we wouldn't walk through life just grinning and bearing it, Lord God, and just struggling. But you've called us to be able to rejoice and be glad, leap for joy. That's hard. God, help us to lean on you for strength. Help us to lean on one another for that as well. God, thank you that Jesus Christ has told us he will neither leave us nor forsake us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is with us. As we leave here and we go back into that world that does these things to us at times, Lord, help us to faithfully follow you and be reminded that our reward is not simply here on this earth where rust destroys it, moth can destroy it, where the thief can steal it. Help us to store our treasure in heaven, Lord God, and help us to live for you. God, thank you for our brothers and sisters around this world who continue to take the good news of Jesus Christ to their family, neighbors, to even their persecutors, Lord. May your kingdom advance and be furthered as a result of their witness and the witness of your people here in Schuylkill County, in the United States, and around this world as well. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.